Randy McPherson is going to be sharing with us today. And a few things about Randy. First of all, Randy lives in Wisconsin. He and his wife, Susan, they have four adult children. And Randy has been described as a serial entrepreneur. Over the last 30 years, he has started and grown several companies that have generated and collectively over $5 billion in revenue. One company he started for $30,000 that today is doing over $1 billion in sales. Randy McPherson will be presenting a title called Think Big, Live Big. This is a great opportunity for us to think big, live big. But then remembering that God can take ordinary people and do impossible things with us as long as we're obedient. And Randy's been one of these people that has been very obedient. And God has used him in many ways. He's pretty busy. He does lots of things. He does a wild game feed, lots of those. Matter of fact, he just said he's booked all the way through 17 with wild game feeds and impacting lots of lives. And so I'm sure you'll enjoy Randy, and if you'll give him Alexandra, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern. It's truly a privilege to be here. Alexandria is a very special place for me. I have very fond memories growing up with Alexandria. I went to the Lake Geneva Bible Camp, and I had some unbelievable, powerful spiritual experiences there. You know, when you're a kid and your parents are teaching you something, but you got to experience it. Well, I experienced the reality of who God is at Lake Geneva Bible Camp. And the other cool thing is I had my first date at Lake Geneva. So I had a lot of firsts. But, you know, what I like about Vern, who's a dear friend of many of all of us, isn't Vern a good friend of all of us? And he's always given stuff, right? Isn't he? How many have received some kind of gift from Vern? Maybe even today, right? Well, I thought I'd give him a gift today. And he's living proof you can be over 60 and still be a stud. I got him a new Harley hat. You know, I don't know about you, but it seems like life goes by really fast, doesn't it? And this was brought home really personally to me a few years ago in my early 50s. And I'm actually 61. I know you think I look like I'm 45, but I'm really 61. But anyway, I was driving through on a business trip, and I needed a cup of coffee. I call it hallelujah juice. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, just improves my personality, they tell me. And so I'm driving through, and I have to have a cup of coffee. So I just pulled into McDonald's, because in a pinch, McDonald's will do. And so I ordered a cup. I walked into the counter, and I ordered a cup of coffee, and this sweet little girl plops the coffee down, and she says, "That'll be 50 cents. I don't know if I like that price, because I thought there might be something related to that price. I said, "Wow, that's a really good deal for a cup of coffee." She just smiles and says, "Yeah, I gave you the senior discount." And it gets worse, folks. I mean, this is the first time in my life someone has given me a senior something. You know what I'm saying? Never, didn't even ask for it, you know? He's charged me $5 for that cup of coffee. Just don't give me this senior coffee. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of stammering, and I say, "Well, how old do you have to be to get the senior coffee?" She just smiles, cocks her head, and says, "I just go by looks." So how many know what we're talking about? I mean, I feel young until I look in the mirror and I say, "Dude, what happened to you?" And so, but you know, I think. It's so important that we take stock of what the good Lord has given us in this life, right? Every day is a gift. And I came to share just what God has taught me. I like to say, God's helped me without a college degree start numerous companies, and most of them have done fairly well. I did have one lose me $12 million. Anybody lose $12 million? So I've got a very expensive education, and you get that for free. So I know. And by the way, there's some interesting facts about business that you may not be aware. They did a study on the average overnight success in business to see how long it actually took. You know how long it took? A little over 20 years. And you know what the difference between very successful people and average people are? Average people fail more. I like a Chinese proverb, he who never failed never did anything worthy. And you see, I came to share a message with you today that you're all a bunch of sissies. Because everyone in this room, including me, thinks small, way too much. And God teaches us that we need to think big. And there's something that's so dramatic and life-changing when you have the courage to think big. Many years ago, from a dead sleep, and for some of you this may have never happened, but sometimes I'm such a busy, make it happen, get it done kind of guy. And by the way, in the word entrepreneur is a word that sounds like manure, right? It's a little stinky at times. How many would relate to that? Sometimes owning a business is not all fun and games, and it's kind of, you know, I believe that the reason why 9 out of 10 businesses fail is because 9 out of 10 people, once they get into it, say, I'm not doing this anymore. This is too much work. I'm just going to go get a job. Because a lot of times you're the most underpaid person in the whole company until you get it up and running. Well, anyway, God woke me from a dead sleep. And you ever wake up and you're trying to kind of get your bearings about you? And this is what I felt I heard him say to me. He said, Randy, if you're not trying to do something bigger than you, I'm not in it. And I'm kind of coming out of sleep. I'm thinking, is this a dream? What's going on? And believe it or not, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. A lot of times it's in the stillness that God speaks to us, sometimes from a dead sleep. And I said, God, is this you? I mean, I just, help me figure this out. What are you talking about? It says, no one's accused me of thinking small. I've already started several companies. I've been very involved with ministries. And a lot of things are happening. He said, yeah, but you keep doing what you know you can do. And I want you to do what you know you can't do, because then you're going to need me. I said, God, that's scary. That's really scary. Because I know my shortcomings. How many know your shortcomings? I'm painfully aware. My wife, Susan, and I, this September 10th, are going to celebrate 40 years of marriage. That's what a gift. It helps to marry him young and naive, by the way. We kind of grew up together. And, you know, the old saying is, what does marriage and a bath have in common? It's not so hot after you've been in it a while. But it doesn't have to be that way. I can tell you I'm more in love with my wife, Susan, than I've ever been. You know, for someone to really know you and still love you, that's pretty cool, right? In fact, isn't the greatest gift anybody can give you is to know you and still want to be your friend? Still love you, still care about you? What a gift. Let's be those kind of friends. Let's be that kind of husband, that kind of wife. And so, it's one thing to believe the Word of God. It's another thing to live the Word of God. And life is a little bit of a seeing through a glass darkly, as the Bible talks about. We see through a glass darkly, but someday we'll see face to face, and then things will be a little clearer. But the David and Goliath story in the Bible, why do you think that's in the Bible? Is it to entertain us? Is it to tell an interesting story? Or do you think it's to remind us that if God can take a little shepherd boy and he can take down a giant, that maybe we can too? You know, I like to say, this is my theology. They say David had 5 stones in his pouch. By the way, have you ever tried to use an actual old biblical sling? They're really hard to be accurate with because you let go of one side of it. And if I was in here and I had a sling and I made one and I put a golf ball in it and I would try to hit something, all I know is someone in this room would die. I just wouldn't know who. Because I have no ability to be accurate with it. But you see, David had five stones because I think even David, who had faith, had a contingency plan. Because he said, you know what, I can probably get five stones before that giant gets to me. But what did God do? One stone. And you see, it's the act of faith, it's the step of faith. And so I want to challenge you. You know, if you're breathing, there's a reason. That's another dream that God woke me. He said, Randy, if you're breathing, there's a reason. It's not about you. It's about what I can do through you in spite of you. What I have found in my own life, and I'll even share my brother's story a little bit later, I'm going to be giving away, I love giving away my brother's stuff, by the way. I'm going to give away a $1,200 Matthews bow. Now, girls, if you win one, we got some really cool girl bows, too. And if some of you old guys with bad shoulders want to shoot a crossbow, I can get you one of those. So at the end, I'm going to give away a $1,200, at least a $1,200 bow to somebody. But God takes very ordinary people. My brother and I grew up barely making it through school. But if your heart's in the right place, and it's not about you, it's about God and others, it's amazing what can happen. So here's some areas that I want to challenge you to think big. Number one, think big with your money. And I'm gonna. Some of you people may not appreciate where I'm going with this, but I believe that God, one of the tests in our life is how we think and feel about money. And I know it's in the Old Testament, but Malachi, check it out for yourself, and many of you know about it. 3:8-12 says that we rob God when we don't bring the full tithe. What is a tithe? That's 10%. Of our income. In other words, you make $1,000 a week, you bring $100 to your church, and you put it in the offering. That's your tithe. And then there's offerings beyond that. I don't want to get into the whole process. But I know so many Christians who think small with their money. I'm sorry, but I just don't understand how you think God's going to rock your financial world when you're a cheapskate with the money and you think small. You think God can help you make a good living on 90% of it. And you know what you find? You don't miss it. I'll give you some really good financial advice. Save 10%, tithe 10%, and beyond that, give to some great missions causes. I believe the number one reason why God has blessed me financially and that I have been blessed is because I haven't thought small with my money. If you're not and I know a lot of people, well, the tithing is a principle in the Old Testament. So what do you want to do? You want to throw out the Ten Commandments? Or how about, how many know Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. I love that verse. I claim it. That's in the Old Testament. You see, the Old Testament isn't thrown out with the New Testament. Christ came to fulfill the law. So I want to tell you, if you're thinking small with your money, quit being a sissy. You guys and gals, get your real pants, man pants on or gal pants on, and you start to learn how to give to God. He says, you rob me, not because of the money, but you rob him. What does it say towards the end of Malachi? That he will pour out a blessing that you can't comprehend. So many people think small with their money. Quit it. I'm serious. I live this. I'm not a pastor. I have no benefit from talk. It's what I, since a teenager, I have tithed to my local church, okay? If you're not plugged into a local church, you get yourself into a good local church. I like to say about anything that you have to learn, like hunting, fishing, golfing, or even work skills, there's only so much you can learn in the classroom, but somebody's got to mentor you. Church is a great place. You know what? I don't have any problems doubting there's a God. Romans 1:20 says, since the beginning of creation, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly revealed by what has been made so that men and women are without excuse. How can you spend any time outdoors and doubt the existence of God? Don't we know there's a God? And yet we send our kids off to university. They teach us that there's some godless freak of nature that we're all here. That's like, I have found a very spiritual experience to spend the first 3 months of the year in Florida. And I was walking the beach one day, and I saw this watch in the sand, and I picked it up. It had evolved over millions of years. And I happened to be fortunate enough to pick it up. Now, isn't that crazy? And yet there are people in this world so sad. I'm not trying to... thinking themselves wise, they become fools. That's what the Bible says. You know what else it says in Romans 1:20? Since they don't acknowledge God, he gives them over to a lot of stuff that shouldn't happen. Okay? And we have that. There's no longer a definition of marriage between one man and one woman. Right? I'm sorry, but biology 101 tells you kind of male-female is kind of a... There's something kind of natural there. You know what I'm saying? And so there is a God, right? If you believe in God, then live it. Quit thinking small with your money. I can tell you that when I'm a business person, everything I do with money is investment thinking, okay? Including my giving to God's work. And I'll talk about how God has helped my brother with bows and what happens actually whenever time someone buys a bow and arrow. But when I give to God's work, it's eternal. Because don't you think the God that made this world has a plan for you and I? Not only here, but the life after? You know, the biggest leap of faith for me isn't that there's a God. Come on, that's irrational. There's a God. The leap of faith my mind can't understand is that God's got time for me. Right? How can no human, I don't think any human mind, I have one son who's a PhD in philosophy. He's a brainiac. He teaches at Creighton University in Omaha. He got that from my wife's gene pool, not mine. But I even said to him once, I said, son, you keep trying to come to God strictly through your intellect. And I'm not saying we leave our brain at the door. But there is a step of faith, as they say, a leap of faith that says, I'm going to trust God's got a plan. And then I'm going to live, not just believe the Bible, but live it. So live big with your money. Did I make that point pretty clear? Quit thinking small with your money. And you know what? I believe God helps your cars last longer. I believe he helps you. I just believe there's a lot of financial benefits that you don't even realize from that thinking. The other thing is think big with your purpose. Too many people think big for a self-serving. Passion is perverted when it's about us, right? But when it's others focused, it becomes powerful. I read an interesting story, maybe some of you did. Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time, and worth over $60 million, a little over 2 years ago, was in rehab, suicidal, wanted to kill himself. Now, I don't know about you, but having won, well, I don't know, 25 gold medals plus whatever else he got, worth $60 million, that wouldn't make me want to kill myself. You know, but he was despondent, and he wanted to kill himself. And in treatment, he read a book that I think everybody in this room has heard about and probably read, Purpose Driven Life. And it changed him, Rick Warren's book, because he realized his life was all about him, and it was a miserable life. But when your life's for God and others, that's when something powerful happens. And they nicknamed him the preacher. Now, I don't know where he's at in his journey, but he was starting to share all the biblical principles of purpose-driven life. Too many times we think big for self-serving purposes. Find a way to think big for God and others. I want to tell you a couple of instances where God just, and this isn't bragging about myself, but this is just how God can use us. I got this email from someone who was employed by me about 20 years ago. And this has happened like at least three times in the last couple years where someone has reached out to me. And I have to tell you, it made me cry, because sometimes do you ever wonder if you're making a difference? And you wonder if you're impacting people because you're trying to do your best to live for God and help people. But here's what this man said. He said, good morning, Randy. I've been wanting to write to you an email for a long time. I want to let you know that what a great mentor you were and still are in my life. Still are. And if he walked in this room, I'm sorry, I wouldn't recognize him unless he introduced me. By the way, I see several friends, kind of long in the, you know, long ago friends and that I haven't connected to in the last several years. Man, you people are getting old. But anyway, you too would get a senior copy. But I'm kidding. That's terrible. But anyway, he says, you were a great man, you were, and still are in my life. I know this may sound a little odd, but God has tugged at my heartstrings a lot over this past years. I always believed in you wholeheartedly and knew you had people's best interest in mind. I remember important things like all the prayer breakfasts and talks we had. I remember something you told me many years ago that I continue to use to this day. I must have made a mistake doing something, and I was really bummed out about it. You said to me, I would worry if you were not making mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, it tells me you're not trying hard enough. I have four children, and they have all heard me say this on numerous occasions. I've also used this while coaching sports. You have always had a great outlook on life. You have been someone I've always looked up to in my life, and I guess I just want to say thank you. I spent and continue to spend a lot of time hunting and fishing, although it's not as much as I'd like to. I agree that spending time in the woods, lakes, or streams is a great place to feel close to God and to connect with Him. I've been blessed with a great family and life. I wanted to let you know that meeting and working for you helped me to further my relationship with Christ. I am a much better person for knowing you and wanted to let you know that. And I just said, thank you, God. Because while we're building companies, while we're trying to raise a family, and while we're trying to, you know, be good at our work, we also need to remember that there are people around us that just need to hear an encouraging word. You know, I believe God answers prayers through people. And my prayer now is every day, God, help me to be an answer to at least one person's prayer today. And sometimes, you know, they say the number one thing a kid needs to hear from their father is not, I love you, that's important. But uniquely what they look to hear from their father is the words, I believe in you. And don't we all just need somebody to believe in us? And so we need to come alongside people and tell them we see the good in them, that we believe in them, even when they make a mistake, that's okay because they're going to get better for it. And we can help people, instead of becoming bitter, become better through the challenges of life. Let me tell you another story, and this is a work-related story, and probably at this point, the highlight of my business career. I've been able to, without a college degree, miraculously, God does not only amazing things to ordinary people, but if you have a big enough heart and a big enough passion to serve Him and to think big and live big, He can do things you never thought would be impossible. You know what I think God likes to do? I think if you have the right heart and the right motives, He says, hey, watch this. Randy's going to do this. And you know what? He can't do it, but He knows He needs my help. I love the scripture that says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask and not doubt. And does it say God will give you a little or a lot? We see, as believers, we have a competitive advantage, if you will, as long as our motives are right. We have not only our wisdom, but God's wisdom. Well, several years ago, I was walking through my office, and I overheard one of my female employees telling another employee about a very unexpected pregnancy and all bad news. And the doc, she had gestational diabetes, I can hardly say that word, but they were really concerned about her health and the health of her baby. In fact, they were very strongly encouraging her to abort her baby because they were telling her they were almost certain that her baby was going to be severely handicapped if it survived. And as I walked through the office, I just felt an overwhelming sense of God saying, go speak to her and encourage her. And I said, God, I'm a CEO, I'll get sued. Right? And I was having this struggle, but I just couldn't let go of it. And so finally I walked up to her and I said, Alicia, I just heard what you said, and I'm really scared for you because I care about you. But my life experiences would tell me you got to trust God one day at a time and see what He's got in mind. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Take it one step, one day at a time, and let's see what happens. I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not the pregnant person in this conversation, but I'll pray for you and your baby every day. And she just acknowledged, just said, well, thank you, and didn't really say anything. And I walked into my office, and the first thing I thought is, I'm just being transparent. I'm going to get sued. But I knew I did what I had to do. How many know doctors are not the final say? How many know that? At some point in your life, you're going to need to believe that and live that if you haven't already. Well, Alicia was going in on Monday to abort her baby until I talked to her. There was no pastor around. There was nobody around. But that day, thank God, because I came that close to saying nothing, I was the voice of God to her. Do you realize that you can be the voice of God to people? If you think big and live big for Him. And I said, she would later say she's going in Monday because this is so overwhelming, so unbelievably distressful to her. She didn't know how she could deal with this, and she just was going to take the easy way out because I talked to her and I encouraged her. And deep down inside, she also wanted to believe that God had a plan. She decided to take it one day at a time. And you know what the good news is? 6.5 months later, she gave birth to a totally healthy baby girl. There is Nina. Nina is a miracle. And if I didn't believe that God could do big things, if I had kept quiet, that girl, that 12-year-old girl, would not be here. And I think how close I came to saying nothing. But I believe we serve a big God. Do you? God wants to do miracles if we'll let Him. We can be, you know what? More than making money is being a part of unbelievable, impossible things that God can do through us if we think big and live big for Him. Nina is my goddaughter. And her mom tells me, I cannot imagine my life without my girl. It's so awesome to be a part of what God can do if we can truly think big and live big. Should I just close now? Think big with your heart. My Bible marker, and I still read a real Bible. A lot of people do it on their phone now, but is in Colossians 3, says, whatever you do, do with all your heart as unto the Lord. And it says, it kind of repeats that later in the verse. Colossians 3, read it, read it. It's good. It's the way we're supposed to live. How many know a lot of people just, you know, it's hard. I understand, because I think if you're not careful, all guys become grumpy old men. Because you just start to hurt after a while. You know, your hair falls out. And, you know, you need more dental work. And, you know, it's just hard not to get grumpy. But if retirement isn't a biblical thing. It's not biblical. If you're breathing, there's a reason, and you got to get engaged. So, you know what? When I'm helping my wife clean the bathrooms, and yes, we can do that. My wife tells me I look really sexy with the vacuum cleaner. And anytime I can get that out of her, I'm happy, okay? Because I bought my first Harley a few years ago. I got all my leathers, and I stand in front of her and say, hey, baby, I look pretty hot. She looks at me and goes, you look cute. That wasn't what I was hoping for. But anyway, whatever you do, do with all your heart. Check yourself many times during the day. How am I living right now? Don't we all do things we don't enjoy? Whether it's helping cleaning your bathroom, or dealing with a problem customer, or, you know, being at a family reunion, there's some, you know, some relatives you'd rather not be related to, you know, whatever it is. We find these things that are just so not very enjoyable. Every job has its challenges. Let me tell you, though, how you get hired. If you're out interviewing and you're going to get an interview with a company that you'd actually like to be employed with, I'll tell you exactly how it should go. You just simply say, you know, I am so grateful, Vern, that you're interviewing me for this position. I'm quite certain you're interviewing a lot of good quality candidates. And I'm just honored to be one of them. But could I be really bold and tell you why you want to hire me? And of course, Vern or whoever it is going to say, yeah, I'd like to hear that. I'll tell you why. Because no one's going to work harder for you and the company's objectives than I will. I'm going to show up with my heart in the game. I will always be on time. Unless it's a storm or something really unusual. And when I'm here, I'm going to give it everything I got. That's why you want to hire me. You know what? I've hired people who are less qualified because they had that attitude. And that's the attitude that God wants us to live every day. You know what? Every day is a gift, is it not? Let's give it our best. Even the mundane, the things that nobody's even paying attention to, because why? Who is it that we are serving? It's God. It's for God's glory, God's honor. And if we remember that, that's a big way to live. Whatever you do, do with all your heart as unto the Lord. Live big with your heart. And then my final point is live big with a courageous attitude. How many know, of course, Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Many of us know that by heart, right? But you know what I find? Very few people actually live it. Very few people live that. And a lot of my life, I haven't lived that. I'm living big, but you know, I got my backup plan, and I'm cautious. And that doesn't mean we throw caution to the wind. And by the way, I believe, I've told employees, if you don't make some honest mistakes, I'm going to fire you. Just don't make them twice. You know? And it shouldn't be careless or foolish mistakes, but it's an effort to be better. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I've seen in my own life how God can take a guy without a college degree. And I didn't want to be in business. My dad, he tried to be in business, and he always lost money doing it. So I wanted to do something. I wanted to be employed. I didn't, you know, it's risky, but God has helped me. And you know what's so amazing? Is when you start to live bigger than you and beyond you, the most exciting thing in the world is when you feel God helping you and giving you wisdom and giving you ideas and even speaking life into a mother and her baby. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go out with a whimper. I want to go out with my boots on. I like secondhand lines. You ever see that movie? In a plane right through the barn, you know? You got to see it. It's awesome. But I mean, it's not much spiritual value in it, but it's a good idea. The problem is that most people quit. How am I doing on time? I got a couple minutes. Most people quit because it hurts. Life is, I know some people including my brother, and you know, I've got some pain in my life. I got a daughter not serving Jesus, and there's times it's unbearable. I'm going to tell you, I've never had anything of value happen. Anything of value happen in my life until after I kept going when I wanted to quit. The good things come hard. The bad things come easy. It's like trying to lose weight. It's so easy to put it on, but it has separation anxiety. You're trying to lose it. Can't we just be friends, you know? You know, when you're younger, you can eat everything, you know? As you get older, you sniff it and it jumps on your body. It's just terrible. We can't quit. My aunt, one of my aunts, my mom was the youngest of 13 kids. Sometimes you have these wild thoughts like, boy, am I glad my grandparents didn't have 12, you know? Just think about how just unique it is that we're even here. But one of my aunts died at almost 90, and in her Bible they found this poem. And it's by Leo Piggott. Check it out. I encourage all of you to get it when you're having a bad day and just read it. But here's what this poem says, and it's a very old poem, I think written in the 30s. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. If you're thinking about quitting, your job or your life or your marriage or you're just tired and you just want to check out. Maybe you're not going to hang yourself, but you're just kind of going to go through the motions. Don't. Stick it out. You know, I once said during a difficult business time to my CFO, I said, sometimes the steps seem so small and so insignificant, and the mountain of problems and struggles seem so high. I was pouting and feeling sorry for myself. But then I went back to my CFO and I said, but guess what? Every mountain's climbed one step at a time. And when you get to the top, the view's pretty good. The view's pretty good when you've stuck it out and you worked it out and you haven't given up. And all I know, I've had a lot of business success, but I have a $12 million business failure that made national news. I learned more about God's benevolence and help and his divine intervention in my life and really who God was in my failure than all my success. Don't give up. Keep going. Think big, even when you want to quit. Am I getting through? You know, my brother tried to make bow and arrows for many years. Right out of high school, we started making bows in high school. I wanted to make them because we couldn't afford them. And I love the outdoors. And my dad took me hunting when I was 6 years old. And it's not about shooting stuff. It's about just being outdoors. And it just makes me get away from everything for a while and just me and God and the outdoors. But my brother tried to make bow and arrows. He just loved making them. Started out with recurve bows, the old traditional bows. And then he got into compounds. And finally, he said to God one day, he says, God, I don't know how to make the best bows, but I know you do. Would you mind telling me? He said, you see, God, because it's not about my own personal fame or fortune, but I feel this overwhelming desire and ambition to build the best bows that can be possibly made so that I can support ministry and help do God's work. I don't feel called to go to the mission field, but I feel called to support the mission field and to support your work. And so, God, it's not for my own benefit, because Scripture is pretty clear. If you want God to bless you for your own internal, you know, selfish ways, he doesn't do that. But my brother sincerely felt that he just felt a God-given passion to make bow and arrows, but knew in himself he didn't have the ability to make them. And so he said, God, I know you know how to make bow and arrows better than anybody else, and would you mind helping me? And you know what God said to him? And he felt like, it's about time you asked. But what did the Bible say? You have not because you ask not, right? Well, my brother said, well, I'm asking. My brother, to this day, still gets dreams in the middle of the night about bow and arrows. And he has the most patents of anyone in the whole archery industry. This last year, now he started the company in 92, but to give you an example how big this thing is, has gotten to be, how many would think archery is kind of a small market business, right? Well, this last year, at a wholesale level, he celebrated his billionth dollar in sales. That's a lot of bow and arrows, right? Abra Auto Body, that I started in 1984, does over $1 billion a year in fender repair. That's a lot of dented fenders. You just never know how big the opportunity that God has given you. And you'll never find it out if you think small. But what people don't know is that every bow that is sold helps people find Jesus all over the world. Every year, Matthew's Bows supports ministries where millions and millions of people come to Christ. That's what Matthew's Bows is about. He has a mission line that's kind of the medium-priced bows and entry-level bows. The reason he called it Mission Bows is because almost all of the profits from that go to support missionaries around the world. You see, he wasn't afraid to think big. So my question to you today is, are you ready to think big? Are you ready to live big? Because if God can do what he's done in my life and my brother's life, what can he do in your life? And you may be 7 years old. It's still not too late to think big. It's still not too late to think big. So my challenge to you, my challenge to me, is every day get up, think big, and live big. Now, with every big thought, I always say in business and in life, think big, execute small. What's the big idea and what are the little things? The grind it out, never give up, never quit. Little things that have to happen to make it happen, and God will help you through all those details. Are you ready to live big? Are you?
Yes.
Are you ready to live big?
Yeah.
See, it's not about you. It's about what God can do through you in spite of you. And there's nothing more engaging and more alive than when you feel God do the big things through your little life. Amen? Time to take up an offering. No, okay. Not bad for a Bible school dropout, huh? Because God can help us. And you know, I prayed that God would speak His words to your heart today, and I hope I did. Because I want to challenge each one of you. Don't we know our own weaknesses? Aren't we painfully aware? Sometimes when my wife is reminding me of some of my weaknesses, she's a pretty gracious woman, but she sometimes gets frustrated with me. I said, honey, I'm painfully aware of my weaknesses. Right now, could you think of something good? Because I'm beating myself up pretty bad over this. So, but God takes our imperfection and does His perfect will. So I want you to leave this place with a new commitment that every day, every breath that God gives you, from this point on, you're going to live bigger, more courageous, more fearless. You're going to be brave. You're going to think big with your money. You're going to think big with your purpose. You're going to think big with your heart. And you're going to truly live the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? Let's do it. So I'm going to give away a bowl. Can we bring up the basket? And listen, if you win this bowl and you don't want to use it, then this is what I believe. God wants you to give it to somebody you know that couldn't afford one of these, okay? That God wants you to bless somebody with it, okay? So Gabe, would you draw a name out of the hat? Ralph Tillett. We have crossbows too, so we'll talk later. God bless you. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day.
Thank you, Randy. That's awesome. Think big and make sure we know that God is the one that's on our side and that our thinking big. It's important to put God first. Thanks for being here. I think it's June 16th is our next Faith at Work lunch. Again, thank you for being here.
Are you still involved with it?